fly sequence now.
What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Haw.
Life is a journey, man. It's all about growing. You want to learn Spanish. You're not too old to do it. I think you should commit to it.
Seriously, do it. Do it.
Full disclosure?
Yeah.
My wife and I just bought the Rosetta Stone.
You can do it!
See?
Spanish.
Look at
him. Learn Spanish.
Your attention span, that's going to last about two to 3 hours.
His Spanish
maybe.
Attention span.
My master made me this collar. He is a good and smart squirrel.
You think I can learn Spanish in 2 to 3 hours?
You won't even get past hola, and you're going to be tweeting and talking on the phone and doing a puzzle and talking to Holly during the pregame show all at once and ignoring me.
Me
amigo
Holly.
There's just no way you could do that.
Yeah, my wife said, that's just who you are. You have to have 40 different stimulus going on at one time.
Jesus.
I concur. I concur, Thibs.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
From the 7th floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap'n Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome in. Cap'n Haw's on the air at 9:01 in the greatest city in the world and home of a hockey team. Gallant comeback falls short. They're down 3-2 in the series. I'm David Kaplan, and looky, who's over there?
Howdy, howdy.
Studio got a whole lot better looking. You're here. Brooke Weisbrook.
Well, thanks. Great to be here.
Good to have
Although
you.
It would have been nice to come in after a late night win. I mean, if you're going to stay up till almost midnight. But I still believe that.
They'll get it done tomorrow.
They'll get it done tomorrow night.
And then we'll see what happens. Anyway, Mike Jacobson, our great executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. Pat Castell is our director. All right, so stayed up, watched the game. I was up. I was standing in overtime. That's just what I do. That's the first overtime game that I've stood in that they lost. Because last year in game seven when they lost to the Kings? Maybe I stood in that one. I can't remember. No, I don't think I did. Somebody said, dude, you sitting or standing has no effect on it. And then I sat and they got beat. So last night I'm standing. That's the first time they've lost.
This is the TV in your bedroom, right?
This is in our family room.
Okay.
So I stand once, but I do it at the United Center. I stand in the entrance to our section. Once game goes to overtime, I stand. And I got people, I mean, like 100 people tweeting at me. I'm standing with you, Cap. And then 45 seconds in, Bickle doesn't get the puck deep, goes the other way, game over.
It was sad, wasn't it?
It was.
I
After
felt
that
like,
furious comeback.
Exactly. I changed positions too. So I was sitting at kind of like a living room. It's like a big high top bar table that I have there. Watching the game goes up 4-2. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm kind of done. So I get up and I start pacing around the living room. I'm like, I'm just waiting for this thing to end and be over. Let's take our lumps and go. And then all of a sudden, the captain, El Capitan, a minute 12, 2 goals, puts us right back in it. And I'm, you know, the greatest thing about where I live is that a lot of people watch the game and they have their windows or their doors open, right? So every time the Hawks score, and on Saturday night, for some reason, my TV was on like a 10 or 15 second delay. So everybody's, you know, going nuts and I can hear all the screams and I'm trying not to concentrate on what they're doing. Because I'm like, great, something great is about to happen. And that's what I love about living in the cities, because you kind of hear everybody celebrating, or, you know, 2 steps outside your front door, the bars are packed with people watching the game. So you kind of feel it. And then when Taves tied it up, you just heard this whole eruption throughout the neighborhood. Everybody was just screaming and hollering, and then dead silence after that. That was it. Not even a minute into overtime. Good night, done.
Brutal.
We'll be back Wednesday, though. They're not that tired. Right, because they started off so slow, and you knew that the Ducks' main goal was to get a quick start, push the pace, dictate the pace, just kind of the same that's in basketball.
And I was on the phone with Eddie. And by the way, coming up on the show today, Pat Boyle, who does great work as the host of Blackhawks coverage on CSN, he'll be with us at 9:40 this morning. Adam Hoge is going to be in our studio to talk about an idiot named Ray McDonald. We'll talk to Hoger coming up.
Idiot.
At 10:55, Eddie Olczyk will join us from Tampa to talk Hawks and a preview Rangers at Lightning, with the Rangers on the verge of being knocked out. And then 11:10, Paul Sullivan, the Tribune baseball columnist, will be with us as well. So what was I starting to tell you? Oh, Eddie. I'm on the phone with Eddie after the first period. Now, I don't know, Mike, did you listen to the between periods recap of with Jonesy and Milbury and Liam McHugh after the first period? I don't know if you heard that. Milbury's like, okay, here's the deal. If they get another goal, you pull Crawford and you rest him. Jonesy's like, no, this game's over. You rest him right now. Pull him for Darling and get him ready for Wednesday. And Milbury's like, yeah, just wait. Let's see who gets the next goal. I'm on the phone with Eddie, and he said, look, if they get a cheapie, somehow, some way, get a goal, you're right back in this thing. And that's exactly what happened. Got a goal, and the second period was like a reversal of the first period.
Yeah, I did catch that conversation. And wouldn't you do the same thing? I mean, I thought when they said that, like, no, don't take him out just yet. Let's see how the beginning of the second period goes. Give him some time.
Most of those goals were his fault.
Well, he was getting blocked, right? He didn't have a whole line of vision.
I mean, the fourth goal that Maroon scored, he had no chance. None. And the overtime goal, again, no shot.
So how is it, how much of a lack of awareness is it then when you're standing in line of your goalie, in the line of Crawford? What is that that's missing to be able to, like, give him the space that he needs to then stop those goals? What is that that's missing?
We'll ask Eddie that question, but Eddie, and Pat Boyle was telling me this the other day, but Eddie was X-ing and O-ing it with me where he said that's not the Hawks' philosophy to get into the body and root a guy out from that position. He said that's just not what they do. They block the shot. That's how they handle things. So we'll get a little bit of those X's and O's and why that happened, but the big play at the end was Brian Bickell didn't get the puck in deep.
Yeah.
Now it goes the other way. Game over.
And the Ducks, the way they play, too, it's like they all come in and they bomb. And that's where you see the physicality come in.
They're tough.
Right? And I like the way that the Hawks typically play a little more finesse, try to avoid that contact, right? So if they can learn a little bit more how to separate themselves from that before it gets there, maybe you avoid blocking Corey Crawford and you can get a stick out and try and stop the puck in some way or another. But you're right. It's like you don't want to buy too much into their game. You don't want to buy too much into playing that power game and that physicality. And that's what, you know, Coach Q is kind of reminding everybody, hey, we're all right. We can take those hits. We're a finesse team. We'll come back. But I also liked what he said last night about, you know, there was acknowledgement about the way that the Ducks wanted to start the game, about how they wanted to own the pace.
And they did.
And there's something to be said for that.
No question. Also, this weekend, we had a holiday weekend. We didn't have a show yesterday. Mikey actually got a few days off, went out of town. You had the White Sox really struggling. Brutal. I mean, brutal. We got to get into that a little later. Do you just shrug your shoulders if you're management and go, well, it is what it is. We're not very good. Or do you do something to try and turn this thing around now? Because it's May the 26th. May 26th. And they stink.
Oh, you want to bring back Ozzie? Is that what you said?
I had said that a while ago. Or Ron Gardenhire.
Thought I just read that between the lines there.
I love Ozzie. You know that.
I do.
Big Ozzie guy.
I do.
But look, I'm not saying that Robin Ventura is the world's worst manager. I'm not saying that. But this is a bad team right now. On an 11-day road trip that you could wake up and find yourself completely buried and done. Season over. They're what, 9 out, Mike? 8 out. 8 out because Kansas City got drilled yesterday. They're 8 out.
Yeah, 19 to 23.
And they've got 10 more in 10 days. I mean, what happens if you go 2-8 the rest of the way on this trip and you wake up and you go, oh my God, we're 16 out, we're 14 out. Season over.
Now, you played a lot of baseball growing up, so you know these stretches. You know that there can be back-to-back-to-back-to-back games. How do you wake yourself up in the middle of that? Sometimes it's like you got to take those lumps, but at the same time, you got to wake up in the middle of it like, hey, we need to do something absolutely drastic. But I think in baseball, because it's so routine and it's so every day, that guys, if they get in a logjam, if they get stuck, if somebody freezes up, they can't make a hit, then it's like that becomes contagious. The errors become contagious. Pitching starts to slack, and everybody gets in that same mindset where they're like, we're never going to break out of this. So what will it take?
You got to shock the system.
What will it take? It takes a shock.
Right.
So how do you do that?
You either trade somebody away where people go, whoa, or you fire the manager, or you fire some coaches. This is the big leagues, man. This is business.
Business.
This is all about business, and it's a bad team. Cubs are 4.5 out, had every chance this weekend to get it to 1.5 games out. They gag away a game in Arizona on Friday night. They get beat on Sunday in Arizona, so they lose 2 of 3 in a series they should have won. And then yesterday, get no offense. 1 home run from Bryant. That's it.
Yeah.
But they're a much better team. They're 4.5 back in the division.
And you got to feel good about the direction they're headed. I mean, at least you've got a guy like Bryant who's everything he has been expected to be. Your defense, your infield is starting to be a lot more solid. And, you know, at least he can speak up. He feels confident enough to tell the umpire, that wasn't a third strike. I got hit. I need to get put on base. So you like that. You like a guy with guts. Everybody follows up. They get out after him. Pretty much game over after that.
But. All right, we'll get into all that. And the other big story, of course, an idiot named Ray McDonald, no longer a member of the Chicago Bears. We'll get into that. And Brooke has a very, very interesting perspective that I think you'll want to hear. Interaction with somebody. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in an app today and see the complete selection of Samsung electronics. Or call them up, 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we shop. Apt, A-B-T. App.com asks for the great Steve Shapiro. Best customer service you'll ever get. App pleasing people since 1936. Be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
Down to Hossa, left wing corner to Taves. He sits, he scores! That one hit the crossbar and ends up deflecting in behind Anderson. Oshiman coughed it up. Taves a shot. He scores from the corner. How did he score that goal? Jonathan Taves grabs the puck 6 inches above the goal line and shot it right at Anderson. He misplayed it back into his own net. And with 37 seconds left in the third, we're tied.
Long slap shot never got into the zone. The Ducks counter. Kessler over the hawk line. Right circle. Shoots. Kick save. Rebound. Score. The Ducks came in on a 2-on-1.
All that courtesy of WGN Radio and the great John Weideman. Both goals from Jonathan Taves. The captain, El Capitan, as Brooke likes to call him. He got it done, got it tied, but the Hawks lose 45 seconds into extra time. And now they'll try and stay alive and force a Game 7 tomorrow night at the United Center. And, of course, you'll get that game on WGN Radio and NBC. And, of course, Comcast Sportsnet, Pat Boyle and his crew will have the great post-game coverage. 312-235-2525. Again, we'll get to hockey with Pat about 9:40. 312-235-2525 if you've got a comment, question, or thought. Ray McDonald. Okay, that was the big story in sports yesterday in Chicago other than the Hawks game.
Right.
Ray McDonald gets the chance. He pays his own way to Chicago. Big flipping deal. $13 million he's made in pros. He spends $500 on a plane ticket and the Bears buy it hook, line, and sinker. He's not a bad guy. And they sign him. And 2 months later, they have egg on their face. As Mike said, nobody going hungry at Halas Hall with all the egg on their face. You have an interesting story about Ray McDonald.
Possibly, or his doppelganger. Because I realized after seeing a picture yesterday, not the mugshot yet, but I thought, that guy just, I'm trying to put two and two together. Where have I actually interacted with him before? Like I said, maybe him, it may be his doppelganger. However, I was at the Bulls game last week. I was with my friend Shireen, who's never been to a Bulls game, and they were getting blown out. So
This is game 6 against the Cavs.
Game. Yep, last game. So by the second half, we decided we were sitting in pretty high seats. We thought, there's no Patrona up here. There's no tequila. We're going downstairs. So we went to the 100 level, one of the bars down there, and trying to find something to eat because we were both starving and didn't want to get like a huge meal, right? You don't want to get the chicken fingers and the fries or the burger or the pizza. So we decided to split a soft pretzel, have another drink, see where the game was going.
Such a chick thing to do.
It is a chick thing to do.
You ever heard of getting a sandwich?
No, chicks get snacks. When we're drinking, we get snacks because if we want to eat, then it's time to go home. Then I'll just swing on through McDonald's and get the nuggies and the fries, and the Uber driver knows what it is.
Okay.
Happens all the time. Anyways, so we're sitting there, and we sitting there with our drinks. We're splitting our pretzel. Guy walks up, and I don't hear him or see him, but I hear him. He's like, can I get a piece of your pretzel? And he sits right down, and I'm like, well, actually, we're models, and we split things like this. You know, I'm totally messing with him. And so you can't have any of our pretzel. I'm sorry. Then his buddy comes and sits down. And his buddy is the one who I thought, you look kind of familiar. And he's like, hey, you know, what's your name?
Big dude.
I'm Brooke. This is Shireen. He's like, big guy. Dreads, very soft spoken, very nice gentleman. But clearly they're just kind of making their way in, sitting down. She and I are just trying to have our pretzel and tequila and watch the game. Watch the misery that is the end of the bowl season. So he looks over to my friend Shireen and he's like, so what's your background? What are you? And she's like, she hears this all the time. She's like, what do you think it is? And he goes, Persian. Right off the bat, he got it. So I was like, okay, all right, he knows what he's talking about. And he was like, why are you guys at the game? And what are you doing here? And we're just making small talk. I said, well, what do you do? Where are you from? He's like, I'm a construction worker. I said, really? Because you look a lot like a football player. And so do you. And they, you know, they both kind of did this. Like, really? Are you getting ready to call me out? He said, no, I'm a construction worker. I live out in Waukegan. We're here for the night. Where should we go? What kind of clubs should we go to? I'm like, dude, I don't know. I don't really go out all that much. What do you want me to do? And he was trying so incredibly hard to get my friend Shireen's number. She's got basically a fiance at this point, close enough. So seriously, it took 45 minutes to kind of get them away to leave the table because we didn't want to leave. We were sitting there enjoying ourselves. We had food, drinks, we were fine. But it was just funny because I couldn't pin it, but I knew that I knew this guy. And
so
I said,
then you see the picture when he gets
I put two
arrested.
And two together. Yeah, and at the time I said, are you sure you're a construction worker? Because I hear a lot about Jets players getting on Tinder and acting like they're construction workers. So, you know, real girls will try to connect with them. And you could just see him trying to stifle this laugh. I know it had,
he didn't know who he'd run up.
It had to be him.
He didn't know who he'd run up against when he met you.
No, but it's not like I, you know, see him walking outside of a Bears facility. So it's not instantly like, oh, that's Ray McDonald. It's a guy walking around with his buddy at a Bulls game that sits down at our table that I'm looking at him. And I just couldn't quite put it together. But it was funny. I mean, obviously, this isn't funny. But I text Shireen last night. I said, isn't this the same guy that came up to us at the game the other night? She said, oh, yeah, that was definitely him. So she thinks it is. I think it is. But again, I never got his name, so I can't confirm. But
all right,
good
so
riddance. We didn't go
do
out.
Do you think it embarrasses the Bears organization or... Nah, they just move on.
No, I think they move on because I think they're going to get a little bit of flack for it. They'll get a little bit of criticism, but they didn't pay him anything. They really didn't take that much of a risk. And really, all it is for all of us that were saying in the beginning, why are you even wasting your time doing this? Do we really need somebody that is not that talented? I know we need help on defense, but there's somebody else we can find. Certainly somebody else we can find without a criminal background. And one that's probably going to beat another woman, and he's on his way.
Well, I always thought if you're going to take a risk, and you did your background, and they talked to the parents and the whole deal, if you're going to take the risk, the reward should be enormous. Like when the Bulls took Dennis Rodman. There was a lot of BS that went with bringing sure. Dennis Rodman here. Well, he was an integral part of three NBA championships. Worth the risk. Wasn't like he was a convicted murderer that got out of jail. He just was a lunatic. If you brought Ray McDonald here and you felt like, boy, this is a 11-5 team and we're one piece away and he's an all-world, all-pro, best defensive lineman, okay. Taking the shot, cut you a little slack. The Bears are awful right now. They're in a rebuild. And you bring this guy in who's not what you'd consider a difference maker. He's a good player. And now this blows back on you in 2 months, I think they look awful. I think they look completely stupid.
Well, trust your instincts. You know, trust your instincts, trust your judgment, and trust what he's done in the past that's going to be a future prediction of his behavior.
George McCaskey had told them,
he didn't
Ryan
want
Pace
him, right?
And his guys, nope, we're not bringing him in here. And then they plead their case. He meets with Ray McDonald. All right, let's do it.
No.
George is a good man.
Stick with your gut, George. You know what you're
Stick
doing.
Stick with your gut. You don't need these types of guys, especially a lunatic like Ray McDonald with all the issues he's had.
And like Kyle Long tweeted, good riddance. I think that's how everybody felt. It was like, oh, okay. Now we don't have to worry about having a problem with this guy.
Mikey prints off for me the Ray McDonald legal timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. May 25, 2014. Police respond to McDonald's San Jose, California home after a woman allegedly grabbed a gun during an argument with her fiance. Gun was registered to the fiance, McDonald. Why he needs a gun, I don't know. Police report did not name McDonald or the woman, but it mentioned an engaged couple living at the address where McDonald was known to live with his fiance. August 31, 2014, McDonald arrested in the early hours on suspicion of felony domestic abuse after an incident at his birthday party. A memo released by the Santa Clara County District Attorney's Office noted visible injuries to the alleged victim, identified by police as McDonald's fiance, who was 10 weeks pregnant at the time. Both Jane Doe and McDonald agree that Jane Doe struck first, police memo reads. Jane Doe said it was a single push. McDonald said Jane Doe hit him multiple times with a closed fist. McDonald grabbed Jane Doe's arms to restrain her, resulting in the visible injury. Memo also says McDonald caused a visible injury by grabbing the woman's neck. In her 911 call, she claimed he was drunk, but the memo reads, McDonald was calm and cooperative with responding officers and not too intoxicated to hold a conversation. Now in November, they declined to file domestic violence charges, citing conflicting accounts, lack of verifiable witnesses. December 13, a night of alcohol and sex with another woman, triggers a sexual assault investigation that has not been resolved. According to a search warrant, the woman, believed not to be the fiance, was drunk at his house when she fell and hit her head on the ground, does not remember parts of the night, wakes up in McDonald's bed. He admits to having sex with her, saying it was consensual. Search warrant for the security video taken by his home's internal surveillance system continues. 49ers now release him, files a defamation lawsuit against the woman who accused him of sexual assault, and arrested yesterday at 3:48 a.m. That's quite a little timeline.
Sure is. And the fact that now he's doing it with a woman that's holding a baby in her arms tells you everything you need to know.
Arrested three times in 9 months. Did he also have a DUI in his background? I mean, it's just, I think I heard he had a DUI reportedly. It's just one on top of another, on top of another, on top of another, and now it blows back on the Bears. And again, this will fade away. He never played a game. They don't owe him any money. It's just a really
How happy
decision.
Are you that this occurred now versus December 18th?
Yeah, or like October 2nd in the middle of the season. Just get him out of here. And that's what they did. They made the right move. They moved fast, and he's gone. It was a stupid decision to sign him. 9 a.m. hour, sponsored by the great people at Apt Electronics in Glenview. Check them out on the web at abtapt.com. Ran into Bob Apt, the owner of ABT. Ran into him at dinner on Sunday night for my mom's birthday. He was out at dinner as well. Good man.
Chief's birthday?
Yeah.
How old's Chief now?
I can't say.
Oh, well, happy birthday, Chief. I shouldn't ask. You're right. Happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's rude to ask.
312-235-2525. You never ask a lady her age.
True.
Take a time out. Be right back.
The Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
In hindsight, and you never want to go down three goals right off the bat. But I think we always show that we can find a ways to dig ourselves out of those holes. We did it tonight and still found a way to push it to overtime.
Jonathan Toews, the captain, and he'll have to spearhead an amazing effort tomorrow night to get this thing to a game seven. Cap'n Hawk continues here. Comcast Sportsnet, D-Hawk flying back from California today. Brooke Weisbrod is in his seat. I'm David Kaplan. In 2014, the Ducks won game five to take a 3-2 lead against the Kings. Lost the next two. In 2013, the Ducks beat the Red Wings in overtime in game five at home to take a 3-2 lead, but lost the next two, including game seven at home. As Steve Rosenblum said, just saying. Just saying. Tyron in Tennessee. Hey, Tyron, what's going on there, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, man?
What's up?
Well, I tell you, it was a tough one last night. I stood up watching. I just thought, well, if the Blackhawks are fitting to steal this one and go back and finish them off in six, and Bickle just made a boneheaded play. There was no excuse for that. I mean, there was nothing going to be going on there. Chip it in, make your line change, forecheck, and just keep running away. You had all the momentum. I thought it was the Blackhawks game, and he just completely crapped his pants. But I still like the Blackhawks. I think there's no doubt they'll win comfortably in game six, and I think they'll go up there and get a game seven. I think the offense has figured out their defense the last couple of games. And last night, I think they found something with Toews and Kane on the same line. I hope they keep doing that. There's no reason not to. That was a dominant second period and third period. So I hope they stay with them on the same line and just start game seven with more energy than game five. have a little more urgency, and I think they'll be fine. But that was a tough one last night. I thought it was theirs and right there for the take, and Dickel just made a bonehead play. Milbury absolutely ripped him after the game, and I agree with everything he said, too. But I still like the Blackhawks. They'll get it in seven, and this is your Stanley Cup right here. The Rangers or Tampa Bay Lightning doesn't have a chance. Take care, guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Tyron. Have a good day, buddy. 312-235-2525. Don has the next point I have on my list here that I wanted to make. Hey, Don, I'll let you make it first. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know Timmy deserves a ring, and he's been there 20 years, but we got Rumblad not suited up, and I think that kid should play.
Yeah, look, you can't play Timonen anymore. You can't.
No.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. You had a great career. You were a hell of a hockey player, but you're done. He can't play, period.
My wife is glad to see Brooke is back.
There you go.
Tell your wife thank you.
I'm glad to see Brooke.
I love you, Brooke.
All right, love you too. Thanks.
See you, Donnie.
Little love.
Look, 312-235-2525. You can't play Kimmo Timonen anymore. You can't. He's done. Finish. -2 in 8 minutes. Kyle Komiski had a big turnover. 3 of the 5 goals came with our worst defenseman on the ice. That combined with Bickle not getting the puck in deep. Look, you can't play him. You can't. Kimmo, thank you. You're out for game 6.
How much of a Band-Aid can you put together to try and scrap out a game 6? And I love the caller, 2 callers ago, where he kind of jumped from game 5 to game 7. And all we got to do is start game 7 with a lot of energy.
Yeah, let's worry about game 6.
Okay, so you're assuming game 6 is going to go well, which I'm sure it will. But again, how do you bandage together the defense at this point? What else are your options?
Not much you can do. You got to play those 4 guys.
So
99.9% of the time tomorrow night.
And they're averaging, what, about 25 minutes apiece now?
They're at, oh, God. No, Keith's way up north of that.
But the 4 of them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 4 of them together.
And I read some stat where that's never happened, I think, in the history of the Stanley Cup, where you know your top 4 defenders play over a certain amount, what, 20 or 23 minutes, and win the Stanley Cup.
Look, how much must David Rundblad stink at practice if he can't beat out Kimmo Timonen? He's healthier. He's younger. TVR, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, back practicing. He can't help. I know he's been out the whole year, but Timonen can't play. He's done. Finished. Stick a fork in him and go, hey, man, we tried. It was worth a risk. A 2 and a 3 or a 2 2s. It didn't work. Good luck. You had a great career. See you later. Paul in Chicago. Hey, Paul, welcome.
Hey, Cap. Hey, Brooke.
What's up there, Sparky?
Again. Couple questions and comments for you guys. First of all, Blackhawks power play, I feel like it's just continuing to, you know, really let us down. And you can't go time and time again where you have the momentum in a game, you get a power play opportunity in the third period, and you don't get one shot on goal. Way too perimeter oriented, but that's been the case under Quenneville basically his entire tenure as a head coach. When are we going to get a power play specialist assistant in here that will take the reins and, you know, change the philosophy slightly? And just one more quick comment for you guys. I know it looks bad right now, but it looked bad last year when we're down 3-1 to St. Louis too. You never counted Jonathan Toews.
We weren't down 3-0 to St. Louis. We were down 3-1. We were down 2-0.
No, I said 3-1.
We weren't down 3-1 to St. Louis. 2-1. 2-0. 2-0.
2-0.
They won the next 4. They won.
Thank you for the correction, Cap.
Yeah, 3-1 to Detroit 2 years ago.
I got you. Thank you. But as I said, just know we can never count a Jonathan Toews-led team out. He's too good. He's too mentally tough.
Agreed.
I think we come out roaring tomorrow night, get the win, and then Game 7 is a coin toss back out in Disneyland. So thank you, guys. Have a great day, and go Hawks.
See you. Go Hawks, absolutely. Look, the power play is what it is. They've been very aggressive, Anaheim, in attacking the Hawks' entries. They have not done a great job on their power play. But the whole key to this whole thing is getting a much better start tomorrow night. You cannot fall behind again by multiple goals. What, they get 3 goals in how many minutes? 3 goals and they got 2 in a minute. The other night they get 3. I'm sitting at the game with Brett. Did I text with you, Mike, Saturday night? I don't know if I was texting with somebody. The Hawks score, then Seabrook scores. Now it's 3-1. Brett turns to me, goes, the 11th and change left in the third. Whew, Dad, we got the series tied 2-2. I'm like, whoa, relax there, sugar. We got a long way to go here. We're only up 2 goals. 37 seconds later in game time, we're losing. And he goes, I jinxed the Hawks. I'm like, nobody jinxed anybody. Just relax.
Yeah.
Come back and win. But you can't fall behind by multiple goals time and time again. 312-235-2525. Dave and Woodridge. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Camp. How's it going? How you guys doing today?
Doing good. What's up, buddy?
I just got to say, I completely agree with you as far as Timo Kamanen. What game was it? I think it was the game here where he burped up the puck and the puck ended up in the net. And I just lost my mind because it was ridiculous. And, I mean, he's a good player, but I agree with you. He's done. Put somebody else in there, please.
Yeah, he can't play. He's done.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Dave. Thanks, buddy. Have a good day. 312-235-2525. Pat Boyle's going to join us in about 3 minutes. Brian in Indiana. Hey, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning, Brooke. Good morning, Dave.
Hey,
how
Brian.
Are you?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, listen, I just wanted to talk about Sharp, Tavo, and Vermette. I thought they had a great game. I think they're coming along really well. I think they're going to do well in the next game, game six. But also, I think a lot of people could learn, especially the NBA, our own Bulls with Rose and Noah could learn what a leadership is. Look at Jonathan Toews, man. What a hockey player. I'll hang up and listen to you.
You got it. Thanks a lot. Look, if the Hawks lose this series, everyone's going to look back and go, Q made a mistake taking Vermette and Tavo out in game three? Game three. He'll take a lot of heat for that one. I'm sure he'll own it, but he made a mistake. Those guys have been magnificent. And you see Tavo Teravainen, how he's starting to develop. He's still 20 years old or whatever he is. Now you see why the Hawks didn't want to give him up to Vancouver for Ryan Kessler. Ryan Kessler's a really good hockey player. However, Tavo Teravainen, those are the types of guys you have to have in your system so that when you have to move veterans out because of salary cap, you got to replenish with talent. A guy like that should have a big-time run here in Chicago.
Well, he's starting to. He looked pretty good last night.
He did. Antoine Vermette's looked good. We'll talk to Pat Boyle. We'll have him explain what goes on when Corey Perry could park himself in front of the net. Getzlaff and Kessler and all these animals around Corey Crawford. We'll get to all that with Pat from CSN coming up next.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Yeah, it was a great comeback and a great second, great third. Amazing finish and, tough in the overtime. But certainly we didn't start on time for the first time in the series. And, they talked about being ready and might have been the differential. But great comeback.
I said, it's our turn. I said, don't be upset and hang your heads. Get angry. Get just really mad that we sort of it away a little bit. And just come back and play the way you did in the first period. Things will work out.
Coach Q and then Bruce Boudreau, the head coach of the Anaheim Ducks, who win it in overtime, 45 seconds in on a Matt Beleski goal after Brian Bickell fails to get the puck in deep. Cap and Haw Show continues. Brooke is in for David, who's traveling back from Cali today. Pat Boyle, who you catch after every game on CSN with Jamal Mayers and Steve Conroy, joins us now. Patrick, good morning. Interesting game last night, shifting emotions throughout. What was your takeaway from it?
Well, it was another emotional roller coaster ride that this team took us on. An amazing comeback in that third period, but a comeback they probably should not have had to pull off had they put together any semblance of an average first period. I mean, to think that Anaheim had 3 goals and the Blackhawks had yet to register a shot on goal is mind-boggling. And I think ultimately we are seeing that the lack of depth on the back end of the Blackhawks blue line has caught up to them. Their 5th and 6th D played a hand in the first 2 goals, and you know, Kimo Tiiminen with only 8 minutes of ice time is a minus two, and he plays a role in the fourth goal, the Patrick Maroon goal as well. So I think we're seeing a lack of depth in the back of the blue line for the Blackhawks, and ultimately, I think that's what probably cost them yesterday.
Coach Q talked about just the Ducks talking about being ready. He said that might have been the differential. So sometimes is that all it is, and is that something that the Blackhawks haven't been talking about enough, a faster start, a quicker start, and controlling the pace?
You know, I think this is their first game that I can really recall during this, you know, cup run where they just did not show up in the first period. They didn't have a shot on goal until, I think, 3.5 minutes left in the period. There is a little bit of a disturbing trend if you look at the Blackhawks' lack of success after overtime games this year. They're 0-4. So is that coincidence? I mean, three of those losses came on the road, including last night. Or is it a team that has logged a ton of ice time with a ton of games and is looking and relying on a core that are playing more minutes than they probably should, and that in the quick turnaround after a multi-overtime game, they struggle? I think there's something to that. I don't think it's just necessarily coincidence that the four wins that they've had in overtime, all multiple overtimes, they've come out in the next game and lost. I couldn't believe that first period. I thought they left, you know, Corey hung out to dry. Corey didn't see the first and the third goal. To me, he was screened on both of those, and to think that it was even suggested that you lift Corey, I thought that was a bit of a crazy idea, and I'm glad Joel stuck with him.
Talking to Pat Boyle from Comcast Sportsnet. So between periods, I'm watching Keith Jones and Mike Milbury, and Keith Jones, I think that's what you're referring to, said, "I would pull Crawford right now, get him ready for Wednesday. You're not winning this game." And Milbury's like, "Wait a second. Let's see who gets the next goal first. I wouldn't be that quick to make that decision." And I was talking to Eddie, and he said, "You just get one fluky goal, it can reverse things right away." But I was shocked. You see more hockey than I do because it's your job. You see it all the time. Were you stunned that one goal could make it look like the Hawks were the team that the Ducks were in the first period?
Cap, they carried play from the second period to the end of regulation. They had more chances. They had more zone time. And it was. It was Teuvo Teravainen, and just a minute 11 into that second period that changed everything. You know, I wasn't surprised because this team has shown us time and again that they can come back. And I thought it was way too early to start preparing. I mean, you're not going to hand the Ducks a game and concede in the first period, not with what this team has done time and again under Joel Quenneville. So to me, if you're trying to win the game and there was still plenty of time left, look, we've seen them. Last night was the seventh time they've allowed three goals in one period during the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Crazy.
I mean, that's just unheard of. And they've won four of them. So, you know, look, that's a disturbing trend, and that's, I think, goes back to the turnovers and the issue with, you know, the depth on the blue line. But they've also shown that they've been able to come back in those games, come back in those periods. I mean, look at what they were able to do in that third period in game four. It's just, you know, if Corey gives you the best chance to win, you keep him in there. You don't concede in the first period. And, you know, lo and behold, Teuvo got him back in it. And, you know, Jonathan Toews pulling off a miracle there at the end. I mean, I thought there's no way when it's 4-2 with 5 minutes to go, then I'm thinking, well, this is over. But Toews did it again. And I think if there's any positive you're really looking at, is that, you know, I don't believe in momentum game to game or anything like that. I don't even believe it. You know, you would have thought the Blackhawks had all the momentum going in overtime, and you saw how that worked out for them. But I will say this. I think they're in Freddie Anderson's head. This kid now has allowed 9 goals in the last 2 games. And you've watched them as well as I have. They've been some real softies. The equalizer from below the goal line for Jonathan Toews is a goal that can't happen at any level of hockey, let alone the Stanley Cup playoffs. So if there is a silver lining to this, or if you're looking forward, I think you'd like to say that they're in Frederik Andersen's head, and that there is certainly a good likelihood if they pounce on him tomorrow night on the west side that they can get this thing to a game 7.
We saw 2 phenomenal goals from Brent Seabrook and Jonathan Toews, both from kind of opposite sides of the corners. Who had the more impressive and harder shot?
Between Seabrook, you're saying Seabrook and Toews?
Yes.
Well, I'll
which
say
was more
Seabrook,
impressive?
By and large, has the hardest shot on the team, and I think a very underrated shot in the NHL. That was a sweet goal because Tavo spots him behind the net, and you know that's just also awareness too, realizing it's late. There's 25 seconds to go in the period. You know, let's get those D-men down low. Let's try to get to an area where they don't see us. Tavo spots him, and I thought he just played phenomenal hockey. Find Seabrook, and then Seabrook puts it in the back of the net. Toews one-timer, I would like to see more of that. You know, I don't think the Hawks did enough quick shooting against Andersen throughout the game. They did it late in desperate moments, but I would like to see it certainly a lot quicker than 3.5 minutes ago in the first period when they finally registered their first shot on goal.
Talking to Pat Boyle from Comcast Sportsnet, I said a few minutes ago that, and again, I'm not an NHL coach. The only time I was on skates, I blew out my knee. So I would not dress Kimmo Timonen. Kimmo, you've had a great run, man, but take a seat. Whether it's David Rundblad or Trevor Van Riemsdyk or Pat Boyle, I can't play a guy I can't trust any longer. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I think you got to look at his options, and I don't think Trevor Van Riemsdyk is really a realistic option right now. I think he's injured. I think if he was an option, he would have traveled to Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
So if he didn't travel to California for yesterday's game, I doubt he would be available tomorrow. But you know, we've seen medically this team pull some things out of a hat and surprise us all. I'm with you. I don't want to besmudge a guy who's had an amazing career and, you know, certainly put more blame on him than deserve it. But it's been a rough ride for Kimmo Timonen. And, you know, I think we just said the stats, you know, the 8 minutes of ice time and a -2. And you can look at both of those goals that he's on the ice for as, you know, he played a hand in both. I guess you say to yourself, could Rundblad do any worse? I don't know if he could. At this stage of the game, you know, I've lost faith in him. I think every time he's on the ice, I cringe. I mean, if the puck's not in the back of the net, there's something bad that's about to happen. So I'm with you, Cap. I'd probably go with David Rundblad, but I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure if Joel's going to make that move at this stage of the Stanley Cup playoffs with what's at stake.
And last thing, Brian Bickell taking a beating for not getting the puck in deep on the game winner. Hawks get caught in a line change and ends up in the back of the net, and the game is over. What is your take on Bickell? Because he's been awful this playoff run.
Well, he certainly hasn't scored. He had 7 goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs a year ago. He had 9 in the 2013 run. He's got 0 now, and he's got 5 assists. The one thing he is doing is hitting. He led all skaters in the Stanley Cup playoffs in hits going into last night's game, and he had 5 more. But I've got to see something from him offensively. And if it's not scoring or assisting, you got to do the little things like getting pucks deep. You can hang that opportunity and the Bolesky game winner in large part onto Brian's shoulders for not getting that puck deep. You've got the long change in the first overtime, and the Hawks were certainly out of position as the Ducks countered on his, I'll call it a turnover at the blue line. You know, you got to get a hard shot into that corner. It just has to happen. It's been a rough ride for him. He's done the hitting. I don't know if the hitting has piled up, and you know, we just assume guys can go out there and run people through the wall. That does take a lot of effort, and it does take you know, a toll on your body. And maybe that is playing a role in his lack of production. But at the end of the day, we've got to see some production. They're paying him $4 million a year. He's done it the last 2 years where he scored 16 goals over 2 years, and he's got zero right now. And he's playing in a, you know, in a top six role. Last night at times, he was out there with Kane and Taves. So it's
does that line stay together, by the way?
Pardon me?
Do you keep Kane and Taves together tomorrow night?
No, I don't think he'll start that way. I think you'll continue to make life more difficult on the Ducks and split those two up. But if for some reason they're down, say, two goals and they're not generating much offensively, you'll see Joel go to the old standby and break the glass and put the two stars together and see what happens.
Yep, break glass here in case of emergency.
Right.
Patrick, I'll see you at the office later.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks again. You too. Have a great day. There he is, Pat Boyle, who does great work. Catch him after every game on CSN. 312-235-2525. Hey, coming up today, Cubs-Nats at 5:30. I'll have the pregame show with Todd Hollinsworth. 5 o'clock, I'll have Sports Talk Live for you. Sox at Toronto tomorrow at 11 a.m. with Sox postgame live immediately following that one with Chuck and Bill. And again, tomorrow, that'll truncate the last hour of our show on television. So we'll still be on WGNplus.com. 312-235-2525. Adam Hogue will be coming into the studio with his entourage right after this.